My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points. And it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had.
All right, glad you're with us. We are in Missouri today, big, important Senate race here. Missouri is one of those states, not a lot of early voting. It's going to be decided on the ground by voters, by you, by we, the people, tomorrow. Many thanks to our affiliate, KZIM, KSIM, in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, the home of Rush and David Limbaugh, two of the most amazing people that are patriots in this country. You know, I could go over and give you a whole list of what the polls are saying and what's at stake and so on and so forth. It really doesn't matter what they say. They've been wrong so often. And honestly, I am convinced that polling in the age of Trump is becoming... doesn't mean that they may not be right in some respects for this week. It's becoming irrelevant. I don't know a single person in my life that is going to answer, spend 20 minutes on the phone with some pollster talking about the polls and answering questions and how I feel and what do I think of this and what do I think. Somebody call, first of all, I've never been called by any pollster ever anywhere. And so I don't know who all the people are that get chosen all the time. And there's such great fluctuation that you've just got to assume this going into tomorrow, that everything that has happened in the last 2 years is in jeopardy. You've got to assume that the hate Trump brigades are going to be out in force. The resistance, they have hated him. They couldn't believe in 2016 that he was the elected president. Look at every record that has been shattered economically. Look at a president that means what he says and keeps promises. Look at what is happening around the country. I don't even know how many more records there are left to shatter in terms of unemployment. We have now the lowest unemployment in, 60 years. We have record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, for Asian Americans, for women in the workplace, youth unemployment. And by the way, the joke of the weekend is he didn't build that. I built that. Oh, I thought you didn't build that. Somebody else built that. A dramatic shift in his opinion. You've got to assume the following, that your vote is going to make the difference between victory and defeat. And it honestly, if you want my general gut sense, reading everything, every poll, every analysis, you know, it was funny to read good old Nate Silver, who's beloved by the liberal media so much because he picked Obama. They forget to remind you that, you know, he was saying forever that Donald Trump was going to get crushed by Hillary Clinton. And he was spectacularly wrong, as was the New York Times spectacularly wrong, as was almost everybody in the media, spectacularly wrong. And that I don't think Trump supporters are too keen on telling pollsters what they think or what they're going to do on any election day. But here's what you should assume tomorrow. Assume that what the Democrats are promising you is true. And what are they running on? Their agenda is hate Trump, investigate Trump, hopefully impeach Trump, but hide it from the American people. And just stop saying it. Maxine, stop saying it. She even admits they keep telling me not to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Impeach 45. Then assume the same Democrats, notice their silence has been deafening as it relates to the caravan or immigration or border security Well, that's straight out of the playbook of the Center for American Progress. John Podesta, he formed that group a long time ago. Get off the topic. Change topics. Don't talk about immigration. So they want to investigate. Well, what do we know? We know they want open borders. We know they want amnesty. We know they want sanctuary cities. We know they support sanctuary states. I mean, Maxine Waters literally saying this weekend she wants San Francisco values to be the values of the country, which is as radical left as you get in any part of the country. So, you know, there is a history here, and I'll go through later Trump's successes because the list is massive. But I want to first remind you, their agenda is transparent. Adam Schiff, the biggest liar in Congress, you know, biggest, he just lies through his, every time he opens his mouth, he lies, but I doubt he's lying about one thing. And that is that he's going to investigate everything. I mean, as the head of the House Intel Committee, the one thing he won't do is his job, which is to keep America safe. Maxine Waters, she says, if I'm the head of the House Finance Committee, I will do to you, I pretty much assume she's talking to Wall Street, because that's what their oversight is, what you did to us. Whatever that means, sounds like revenge. So investigations, impeachment. Remember they said about the biggest tax cut in American history, the $1,000, the $2,000 that you have in your pocket, every paycheck, every month, the extra money you have for your family, for savings, vacations, dinners, a better car, maybe a better house. They called it crumbs. Now they are campaigning actively and saying so that they want the crumbs back. One of the reasons for the great economic growth we're experiencing is because the crumbs have been distributed to we the people. And we're better off as a country because of it. They want open borders, amnesty, sanctuary cities and states. And then the greatest thing is, in the final weeks leading up to this election day tomorrow, they have decided that we're just going to talk about health care. Health care? Listening to Obama talk about health care, I'm thinking, please, please tell me that you're not selling us keep your doctor, keep your plan, and save money again. Because we know how well that worked out for everybody. There's such a large percentage of the American public. By the way, I don't think there's any city or state that didn't pay dramatically more in spite of that promise over and over again. Now people are down to, in many cities, many counties, many towns, to one provider. That means you have no choice at all, because all the other main providers realized they can't possibly be a part of this because it's nothing but a total complete redistribution plan. So they pulled out. And now people have one choice, not multiple choices. Keep your doctor, keep. Many lost their doctors, lost their plans, and are paying 2, 3, and 4 times more for health insurance. You know, I just hope that, you know, it's funny how short political memories can be. One of the fundamental questions in this election, are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? Is America better off? Is the employment situation better? Is our security better? You know, since the president's been elected, let's just compare and contrast. Obama gave us literally the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. 13 million Americans after 8 years of Obama. That's why watching him this weekend, he is obsessed with the, he didn't build, I built that. I did it. Well, he's got an 8-year track record. 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty, lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, worst recovery since the 40s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. Oh, and by the way, the guy that said that $9 trillion in debt, he was talking about debt this weekend. I'm like, holy, the audacity. $9 trillion in debt, that's irresponsible. That's unpatriotic. In 8 years, he accumulated more debt than all 43 presidents before him combined, and has the distinction of being the only president in U.S. history to never experience not 1 year out of 8 3% GDP growth. Now, what's the track record of the president? Well, since for 2 years ago, are you better off than you were 2 years? 4.5 million new jobs have been created. 4.3 million fewer people on food stamps. Another 4 million out of poverty. More Americans now employed than ever recorded before in American history. Those jobs that Obama said were never coming back in manufacturing, more than 400,000 manufacturing jobs in 2 years. And manufacturing jobs now are growing at the fastest rate in more than three decades. We had 4.2% GDP growth in the second quarter, 3.5% in this most recent quarter. Unemployment claims at a 49-year low. We now have more Americans, more jobs, almost a million more jobs than we do have people on welfare in America. You know, we have everything that we've ever wanted is now happening. Median household income has hit its highest recorded record, lowest rate ever recorded. Hispanic Americans and African Americans and Asian Americans and women in the workplace, lowest level in 65 years. Youth unemployment has hit the lowest rate in nearly half a century. Lowest employment rate ever recorded for Americans without a high school diploma. Veterans unemployment, they reached their lowest rate in 20 years. 3.9 million, 4.3 million people lifted out of food stamps. You know, these are all promises made, promises kept. We've gotten rid of more regulations in 2 years than we did in 35 years of putting them all together. Retail sales up 6% over last year. The biggest tax cut in American history. You know, look. The individual mandate, dead, gone, finished. Just totally evaporating. He opened up the Keystone Pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline. He opened up ANWR, single-handedly saved the coal mining industry, West Virginia and elsewhere. You know, regulatory relief for community banks and union banks and so on and so forth. You know, we have literally the FDA approving more affordable generic drugs than ever before in history. Care about health care? Medicare reform to stop hospitals from overcharging low-income seniors on their drugs. You know, the right to try legislation. If you're about to die and you want to try a certain medicine, how cool is that? Why does the government get to say you can't take that medicine, you're dying? Well, it's my body, it's my life, and maybe this is going to work. You know, then we haven't even talked about the Paris Accord that he killed. You know, that was just the job killer for us. Or that, you know, NATO allies now kicked in $70 billion more. Or the new deal on trade with Mexico and Canada. And negotiate, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Getting rid of, now in terms of sanctions, the biggest sanctions ever on the Iranians ever. You know, trying to protect America through a travel ban. All we want to do is vet people from countries that maybe have values that contradict our values. And we want to be sure of those things. Building the wall to the extent that they've only had $3.5 billion, they need $25 billion more. And building up our military. Do you want it to continue or not? That's up to you. I can't make you vote. I can't force you in all of these congressional districts. We'll go over in the course of the program today. Here in Missouri, you will get the government. You want to elect Schumer Jr., stay with Claire McCaskill. Florida, Ben Nelson. Ben Nelson, where has he been for 30 years in the Senate? Where has he been? Rick Scott rolls up his sleeves and helps every day. Really, you want Andrew Gillum in Florida? Marsha Black, Bredesen caught on tape thinking the people of Tennessee are ignorant. Claire McCaskill, the same thing. Heidi Heitkamp, the same thing. I can't even understand why it's even a race out in Arizona. Martha McSally, 28 years, helping our military, 6 tours of duties in Iraq and Afghanistan. And even this weekend, Kristen Sinema would not denounce or apologize for saying it's okay to fight with the Taliban. That's what's at stake. Dean Heller's done a good job. Joe Donnelly can be beaten in Indiana. John Tester can be beaten. especially now that the Libertarian's out. You know, it's up to you. I don't have a crystal ball. If you want to wake up Wednesday morning and hear the words Speaker-elect Pelosi, Senate Majority-elect Schumer, then don't vote, or vote for a Democrat. Or you can shock the world. Again, imagine the media's face. They will lose it. It'll be very entertaining. All right, glad you're with us, Sean Hannity Show. We're in Missouri, Cape Girardeau. Final rally of the president tonight. We'll be broadcasting Hannity tonight. And here's the deal. I mean, I'm even seeing a poll where, you know, it just, they're all over the place. I just don't have confidence in any of them. But even West Virginia now saying that, you know, ranked number five now in terms of a race in the country. In other words, a 5-point advantage, rather, for the opponent of Joe Manchin. They just had a pretty big debate there. John Tester now is down 3 in Montana. The problem with Montana is half the state already voted. But leading now after the Libertarian, Rick Breckinridge, dropped out of the race. That's why Indiana worries me so much. Joe Donnelly would be defeated handily if there was no Libertarian in the race in Indiana. I'm always worried about Florida. It just is what it is. I expect it to be tight. I expect it to be close. Republican turnout will make all the difference tomorrow in Florida. Southwest Florida, the Panhandle, the I-4 corridor, all matters. Marsha Blackburn, she should win after what Bredesen said about the people of his state. This state, Josh Hawley should win. I don't have any idea what the love of Kristen Sinema, the absolute most radical candidate in Arizona history. Really? It's okay to join the Taliban? She doubled down on stupid this weekend. Why wouldn't you vote for Martha McSally? All right, 25 till the top of the hour, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And many thanks to our affiliate, KZIM, KSIM, and Bob Hugin. Nobody thought that New Jersey could be a possible Senate shift. But, you know, New Jersey has an interesting history. Remember Tom Kaine, Christy Todd Whitman, Chris Christie. Those are all Republicans in the deep blue state of New Jersey. And literally the cavalry has been called in to help Bob Menendez because internal polling, I am told, shows that it is a neck and neck race. The fascinating thing about New Jersey, it's like where I am in Missouri. Most of the votes are going to happen tomorrow. In other words, you don't have half the vote already in or 5 million votes in Texas and Florida, you know, before you even get to Election Day. That, by the way, and it's very tight in each state. Take nothing for granted. Anyway, Bob Hugin, we asked him to come on for a couple of minutes. He is running for Senate, former Marine, Semper Fi, sir. This probably is a shock to a lot of people in the country, but it's really literal. It's real. New Jersey's in play.
Absolutely, Sean, and thanks for having me on your show. It's great to be with you. Listen, my wife and I got involved in this race a while ago because we were just morally offended that this guy would be reelected virtually unopposed if we didn't step in. The guy has so violated the public trust, violated federal law, abused the power of his office. I could go on and on and on. The commercials don't even do justice to how corrupt this guy is. And on top of that, he's been in Washington for 25 years, 16 of those years with a Democratic president, and New Jersey's dead last. We get the least back from Washington than any state in the country. New Jersey's so unaffordable, corrupt, ineffective, hypocritical. It's time for him to go. The people of Jersey deserve better.
Hey, let me ask you one thing. Tomorrow. One thing about your ad when you say that his lawyers literally argued that even if he did have sex with a girl as young as 16, that that wouldn't be illegal because it's not in the United States. They argued that point? You have evidence of that?
Hey, listen, we if anybody wants to look at it, we put a thing called the MenendezFiles.com. Because this is a job interview. He wants a another six-year term contract from the people of New Jersey. MenendezFiles.com. Not only that, Sean. Not only did they do that, when they had very specific allegations against Senator Menendez, his people pushed back on the Department of Justice and they stood firm. And then when he was going around the country saying, I wasn't even there, I didn't do this, blah blah blah," the Obama Justice Department once said, "You better stop that because what you're saying is demonstrably false." He lied. He lied about where he was and how many times he went there.
That would mean that the only people that get in trouble for lying to the FBI would be, let's see, General Flynn and poor George Papadopoulos. I mean, not Hillary Clinton and not Bob Menendez. As I've often said, we have a two-tier justice system in this country. If you lied to the FBI, good luck to you, Marine. Semper Fi, nothing. They don't care. No matter how you know, look at Lieutenant General Flynn. How many years did he serve his country?
Yeah. You know, the hypocrisy is unbelievable. I mean, it's just like, listen, that's the world we live in. You're not going to get a fair hearing on a lot of these issues. Same thing with me. I have worked so hard to put people first in everything I've done. I went to a failing company, 6 weeks of cash left. We turned it around. Hundreds of thousands of people live today because of the great work of that company. And they lie and mischaracterize it. Nobody says a thing about it. But listen, I'll tell you, the people in Jersey are smart. They're going to make a decision tomorrow. He's made this race after 25 years, doesn't talk about anything he's delivered. It's just that it's all about anti-Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the devil, and Bob Hugin is his accomplice. And Bob Hugin helped, he stole money from cancer patients, just a bunch of crap. And the people in Jersey know better. I was born and raised in New Jersey. My wife and I raised our three kids in New Jersey. I'm proud to be from New Jersey. I love New Jersey. Both my sons are stationed at Camp Pendleton in the United States Marine Corps. I hope we can turn New Jersey around, make it affordable, so when they leave this country's service, they can come back and raise their family in New Jersey. But we're headed in the wrong direction, and we're going to start changing that tomorrow.
I wish you the best of luck. New Jersey's in play, Bob Hugin. And I agree on your assessment. He's been a standard, a stealth Schumer vote every step of the way. And we wish you the best of luck tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks to be with you, Sean.
800-941-SEAN is our number. You know, the interesting thing about the House, we've gone over a lot over the Senate. Listen, these Senate races all matter. Republicans need, let's just start what they need to hold. They need to hold Tennessee. That's Marsha Blackburn over former Governor Bredesen, who thinks the people, his staff thinks the people of Tennessee are ignorant. They've got to hold Nevada. Dean Heller's done a great job for the people of Nevada, but Nevada is a tough state all the time, and this would be his second term. And then you have this open seat where you have Kristen Sinema versus McSally. And McSally, imagine, 28 years serving her country. As she said, while Kristen Sinema was inviting witches and wearing pink, tutus, and saying it's okay. She even this weekend had a chance to denounce her own comments about, oh, it's fine if Americans want to join the Taliban. Oh, this is outrageous that you're talking about these things. That's the enemy of our country. And she was fine with it and doubled down on stupid. So, you know, those are the three races. Then you have Florida would be a pickup if Rick Scott can win. Tough, tough state, Florida. It's all about day of voting in Florida. Just like Andrew Gillum, 40% tax increase. That's what he wants to do in Florida. The worst crime in all of Florida is where he is the mayor in Tallahassee. You know, he has said he wants to impeach the president. All these people want to impeach the president. He's the governor. He's running for governor. He's a mayor. And then, of course, you have all these other states that are potential pickups. Where I am in Missouri, it's mostly day of voting tomorrow. And that means that Josh Hawley could win, but it's up to the people of Missouri to show up tomorrow. Just the same thing for Republicans if they want another pickup. We now see that John Tester is in trouble in Montana. And although a lot of that vote is in, tomorrow will make the difference in Montana. And you have Rosendale is out there running a great campaign, and he's running on the issues. You know, all of these people and these Democrats in red states, they're basically Chuck Schumer. You stay home and you're going to get Chuck Schumer again for your state for 6 years. If you stay home in any of these House districts, that's going to be a problem. Indiana, Joe Donnelly can be beaten. We now have in West Virginia, a race now has been moved to a toss-up. On the eve of the election, Washington Free Beacon is now reporting Real Clear Politics just today switched Manchin from lean Democrat to toss-up in response to gains made by Morrissey in the polls in West Virginia. You know, so we'll watch that very closely. The state that literally was saved by Donald Trump's saving the coal mine industry single-handedly. You have nearly three-quarters of the electorate saying the economy is good or excellent. An amazing poll. Why would anyone want to change course at this point? You have three major polls showing that the Democrats' generic ballot lead is pretty much collapsed, according to Politico Morning Consult. 43% would vote for the Democratic congressional candidate in their district, only slightly more than the 40% that would vote for the Republican. That could be an interesting telltale sign. You know, I want to point out one other thing, because people are saying, well, if they take the House, this is a tsunami. Let me help you out here, because when Barack Obama had his first midterm in 2010, well, he literally got 60, the worst losses for 62 years. I mean, it was a total beatdown when they lost 60 seats to Republicans. 60. You know, so, and Obama called John Boehner. John Boehner cried and cried again and cried some more and cried a lot more every day thereafter. But when Bill Clinton in 94, Republicans had not had control of the House in 40 years. And in his first midterm election, it was off the charts as well. He lost 52 seats. And if you look at the time, I mean, it's some of the biggest historic losses ever. Then you can look at the left's meltdown in anticipation of the vote. Let's see. You've got, it's one CNN writer suggesting on their opinion site, women should go on a sex strike ahead of the midterm election. You can't make this up. Great column by Andrea Pizer. How does Alec Baldwin always get away with this? Over the weekend, the typical hate Trump, hate conservative, hate Republican media smear. Trump's a Nazi, a virus, unfit to be human, as chronicled by the Media Research Center. You got Democratic star socialists, Ocasio-Cortez, impeaching Trump is a no-brainer. This is what they're running on. You know, in Florida, you've got a 40% tax increase, and you still have the ability to shock the world. By the way, Eric Trump is with us now. He's been crisscrossing the country on behalf of many candidates, along with his wife, Laura. How are you?
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What do you think about tomorrow? I don't have any clue. I don't know.
Honestly, if people get out and vote, we're going to win. You know, it's just that simple. If people get out and vote, we're going to win. America's winning right now, and people can't be complacent. I mean, you talk about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm a broken record talking about it, but we have the fastest growing GDP the country has ever seen, 4.2%. We've got the lowest unemployment this country has ever seen, 3.7% unemployment, lowest African-American unemployment, lowest Hispanic unemployment, lowest female unemployment, lowest Asian-American unemployment, lowest youth unemployment. I mean, I could go on and on. Since 1969, the year we put a man on the moon, we've only had...
By the way, that's the year the Mets won the World Series. That's how long ago it is.
We've only had 11 months since 1969, Sean, 11 months where unemployment in this nation has been less than 4%. And guess what? Six of those 11 months have been under Trump, and it's going to continue. I mean, we have the greatest economy that the world has ever seen. Consumer confidence at all-time high. Stock markets are all-time highs. If you ever have a doubt about, you know, who to vote for, check your 401k. Your 401k is up 35% right now since Election Day. Check your savings account. You know, I mean, wages have gone up this year for the first time in 16 years. It's, 3.1% wage increase. People are investing in their businesses again. Small businesses are paying 18% less in taxes right now. We're the number one rated economy in the world. And, you know, that's before you start talking about how my father's totally rebuilt the military. He's protecting law enforcement. He's protecting ICE. ISIS is gone. North Korea's handled. Iran, whenever you give them $150 billion again, like the Obama administration did. He's tackling the opioid crisis. He's tackling prison reform. He just put in major legislation to, reduce the cost of prescription drugs, which has gotten out of control. We're protecting the Second Amendment. We're protecting religious liberty. People can say Merry Christmas again. I mean, guys, this is what we're fighting for. This is what we're fighting for. And if Nancy Pelosi gets in there and if Chuck Schumer gets in there, it's going to be resist. It's going to be obstruct. I mean, she was on CNN over the weekend talking about, I'm just going to use subpoena power. I'm going to go just subpoena everybody on the opposite side. I mean, so they have nothing to run on. They don't have any issues. They don't have any leadership. So what? They're just going to subpoena everybody and bring our government to a screeching halt for a two-year period of time because they've got no creative ideas. They've got no platform, they feel bad because...
You know, Eric, let me sum it up. We have more records than we can even state in terms of the economy. It's never been better. Are we better off than we were 2 years ago? Did he keep his promises on tax cuts, on regulation, on energy, on border security? Did he keep his promises that America is going to be strong again? Well, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and we're not dumping cargo planes full of cash on the runways in Iran for mullahs in Iran that, you know, chant death to America, and little rocket man stopped firing rockets every other day over Japan, and we got hostages back, remains back, and we're now talking about denuclearization. So we're also safer.
Yeah, listen, there's no question about it. We are safer as a country. I mean, we've got the greatest military, you know, he's building the greatest military in the world. You know this better than anybody. You reported on it better than any human being, Sean. I mean, you talked about this all the time. We had fighter jets. We had half of our fighter jets that couldn't take off because there weren't enough parts to make them airworthy. So they were going to museums to borrow parts from museum planes to put on our fighter jets so they could get airborne. I mean, that's not America. We have to be number one in military. We need to be number one with our vets. We need to be number one with our economy. We need to be number one with education. We need to be number one at absolutely everything we do because that's who we are as Americans. And you can't be number one if you let... You have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer blocking everything you possibly want to do, and that's why everybody has to get out and vote for the Republican candidate. They have to get out. I don't care if it's snowing. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's, you know, people have to get out. You have to vote tomorrow. No excuses, because they will do everything they can to bring our country to a screeching halt.
There's a lot at stake. My hope, my prayer is that the American people go out in the numbers that are necessary. The left is mobilized. The resistance is mobilized. They just hate your father. But in the end of the day, they gave us the same policies that put 13 million more Americans on food stamps and 8 million more in poverty and gave us a healthcare disaster and that kissed up to every world dictator, you know, from the mullahs on down. So I'm sorry, America's in a much better position, and I hope people pay attention, but they get to decide. Eric, thank you. Eric Trump, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free number. All right, glad you're with us. As we continue, we are... No right ear, by the way. All right, it's fine. Glad you're with us, 800-941-SEAN. We're in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. We will be covering the president's last and final rally, the hometown of Rush Limbaugh. Rush and David Limbaugh both will be at the rally tonight. And Lee Greenwood, I understand, is also performing, so that's all good. Many thanks to our affiliate, KZIM and KSIM, and their great, amazing hospitality. Obviously, big Senate race here in the great state of Missouri. You know, one thing I want to just address is, you know, I'm watching how people are trying to measure the success or failure of Donald Trump in this election. And you just got to go back, and you have to have just let's stay with recent history. Republicans had been out of power for 40 years in the House of Representatives until Bill Clinton in his first midterm lost dramatically 52 seats. Newt Gingrich, Contract with America, in the biggest wave of conservatism since Ronald Reagan. It was historic at the time. Matter of fact, if you actually go back and you read some of the headlines, it was the worst defeat a president's party had taken in 100 years. This is 1994, and that's when Grover Cleveland was in the White House. But it was outdone. In 2010, well, Barack Obama beat Bill Clinton's record in terms of lost seats. It was 60 seats that were lost. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. If you look at, you know, 86 or 87% Nate Silver has the House going to the Democrats. I don't know if polling works in the age and an era of Trump, because I don't think Trump voters are going to say that, oh, let me spend 2 hours on the phone with a pollster and tell him everything I feel. And he's even saying, well, it could be anywhere between 15 and 52. That's like the biggest CYA that I think I've ever read from any so-called pollster. And I think if the president keeps the Senate and gets some picks up seats in the Senate, which most of the polls suggest are possible, then I would say that that's a split decision. Anyway, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich is with us now. And we've been through an election or two, by the way. You know, we've handled losses a lot better than the way the left has handled losses, especially in light of Trump's victory. They've lost their mind since 2016.
Well, that's true. And I think that they're a lot more desperate than I can remember us ever being, because they're watching their world gradually start to disappear as the president passes deregulation, appoints fabulous conservative judges, gets the economy growing so people don't need food stamps and welfare. It puts people back to work. But I want to give you just one number that I found fascinating today. the New York Times did a story about my old district, and in order to get 431 people to respond to their poll, they had to place 31,000 phone calls. Now, I don't know how you can possibly believe the poll. I mean, it's a random event. I don't see how you can possibly believe it's a real poll if you're calling 31,000 phones to get 431 answers. But what's happened is people are just sick of it. I think conservatives are particularly sick of it. And the result is that they're having a harder and harder time getting any kind of accuracy. And I would remind people, you had mentioned earlier the whole 538 routine and their projection for the House. These are the same people who told us on Election Day 2016 that I think it was a 72% likelihood that Hillary was going to be the president. So I don't.
That's correct.
I mean, I will be very honest. I'll be very honest. And as somebody who's looked at elections for a long time, I don't know what's going to happen. I have some informed ideas, but I think that the American people are up in arms. I think that both on the right and the left, they're unhappy. I think that they understand this is a real fight about our future. And I think the turnout so far has been unbelievable, almost presidential level turnout so far. So tomorrow night to me is going to be one of the most fascinating election nights in American history. I think we will keep the Senate. I think we have a fighting chance to keep the House. But we all need to recognize this is a unique and a different environment. And if you have any friends who have not yet voted, you better remind them between now and the end of club voting tomorrow.
You know, I'm in Missouri. A state like Missouri or a state like New Jersey, it's mostly day of voting. And that means tomorrow, that means turnout, that means rain or shine, that you've got to get out there. But even, you know, you look at, for example, the Libertarian pulling out of Montana. Well, now Rosendale has a three-point lead against Tester, but half the voters already in that state. You know, 5 million votes cast in Texas already. Can you imagine almost $100 million thrown up against Ted Cruz in Texas to defeat him by somebody that I know doesn't represent the values of Texans? And, you know, you're right. The resistance, as they call themselves, they're energized.
They're energized, and they've got a handful of billionaires who are just writing checks like crazy, including Bloomberg and Steyer and Soros and others. But what's amazing to me, a good friend of mine running in California, Dana Rohrabacher, had $14 million in attack ads against him, and they did not move a single point. I mean, the people who knew Dana said, yeah, we know who Dana is, and we're not paying attention to this junk. And so after $14 million, he's still ahead, I think, by five or six, which is both a great tribute to Dana, but also a sign of what's happening around the country as people get more sophisticated. In Texas, I keep watching the left just get so excited. They really hope that as Ted calls him occasionally, that Comrade Beto is going to somehow magically pulled this off. But I doubt very much if Beto O'Rourke is going to come anywhere close to winning. The Texas Republican Party is very well organized. Cruz has run a great campaign. The president's been down there. I also have to say to our audience, because I've been in Cape Girardeau many times, the only Republican who served in the House in a majority before 1994 was Bill Emerson of Cape Girardeau, who had been a page the last time the Republicans had a majority and then came back as a congressman. He was the only person who, as a Republican, had been in a majority in the 40-year period. And I remember going down to Cape Girardeau for his funeral. It's a wonderful place, and, of course, the birthplace of Rush Limbaugh. I can't imagine a more symbolic place for the president to go and for you to be there along with Rush. And it particularly fits because McCaskill, of course, the liberal Democrat, had been caught on tape saying that as long as she had St. Louis, she didn't need the foothills. Well, this is a county where Trump got 76%, and I suspect late tomorrow evening she's going to discover that the foothills have a lot of votes.
If you look at just the success in 2 years, 4.5 million new jobs created, 4.3 million Americans off of food stamps, 4 million off of out of poverty at this time, record low unemployment, 50-year low, record low unemployment in 14 states, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workforce, youth unemployment, its lowest level in over a half a century. And, you know, veterans unemployment, all of this, median income rose to $61,372, a post-recession high, wages up by the fastest rate since June of 2009, paychecks up 3.3% in a year. And, you know, things are flourishing. I don't know how big a factor that's going to be. And then we can add Jerusalem as the capital. No more cash going to mullahs in Iran. Little rocket man isn't firing missiles over Japan every other day.
Well, I think all those things have an impact. And I think that the economy in particular, and the fact that President Trump's economic approach is clearly working. You know, I would say to all of our liberal friends, if you really care about African Americans, shouldn't you be in favor of Trump's policy that has produced the lowest unemployment rate in the African American community? I'd say the same to the Latino liberals. I mean, shouldn't you be in favor of a policy that's produced the lowest Latino unemployment rate in history? All these things are moving in the right direction. I think they're part of why, despite enormous, enormous amount of money being spent by the left, you know, we haven't faced a blue wave. We've faced a green wave of just enormous amount of money being spent. And I think the economy is part of what has, frankly, propped us up, because people look at it and they go, hey, this is really working. Why would I vote no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look at this. 9 in 10 American workers see an increase in their paychecks. It's the largest tax cut in American history. It's, you know, more than $5.5 trillion in gross tax cuts. 60% of that money went straight to families. The rest went to small businesses and family farms, et cetera. And, you know, obviously conservatism works, but people's memories often are short. And that's frustrating to me. You know, watching Obama this weekend take credit for the good economy and try to use health care as the wedge issue in the closing argument for Democrats, I'm like, did we already forget about keep your doctor, keep your plan, pay less? And everyone lost doctors and plans, and some people only have one choice, and everybody paid more.
Didn't you think he looked sort of sad and like he was off his stride all weekend? I mean, I was right.
Very much.
A couple of times he was sort of stopping and trying to remember what was it he was going to say. And, you know, I don't know whether he's that rattled by President Trump or he's just out of condition as a political figure. But I thought he was dramatically less effective than he used to be. And I think that his message rang very hollow unless you were very, very liberal.
You know what I thought? I actually thought that, you know, what was once the dynamic presence of a Barack Obama. I mean, hope and change and massive crowds and yes, we can and Obama. Compared to Trump, he's kind of dull and boring.
Not just that,
and he has a track record that fails.
And somebody told me today that he had like 1,000 people in Miami where the president's out getting 10, 20, 30, and I believe in Macon, Georgia, he had 50,000 people. And by comparison, Obama's running around with 1,000 people. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable contrast.
Well, what do you think? I know this is hard to say. I mean, I look at these, I can't really tell what's going to happen tomorrow. I think Florida's very tough. I think that Marsha Blackburn should win in Tennessee. I believe that this state of Missouri is crucial, and Josh Hawley's run an amazing campaign. He should win. I always worry about Nevada, but Dean Heller's done a great job out there. I can't even believe that it's a contest with, you know, Kristen, I support Americans joining the Taliban, and Arizonans a crazy cinema. Then to see John Tester's seat maybe in play, and Joe Donnelly, you take out the Libertarian, he loses by double digit. Heidi Heitkamp loses. You know, what do you think? West Virginia, Manchin is in a fight. New Jersey might be in play. Who knows?
Look, I mean, as long as we remember that none of us actually know until the votes come in, because polling just isn't that good anymore. I would say my gut tells me that we're at 54 plus in the Senate, that we end up somewhere above 54 Senate seats. And my gut tells me that we are literally in a dogfight. And one of the great stories, which you played part of, was helping John Cox run for governor in California. And as a result, the California Republican Party is energized. And where people thought at one point that the Democrats might pick up 7 seats, They now think they might only pick up one or two. And if that happens, Nancy Pelosi's chance of being Speaker just goes straight out the window. So they're very interesting, positive things. In Minnesota, we're going to certainly gain one Democratic seat. We may gain two or more Democratic seats in Minnesota. So I look around. I think we're somewhere between narrowly losing the House and narrowly keeping the House. And I don't think anybody has accurate information right now as to which is more likely.
All right, Mr. Speaker, we will have you back on after the elections tomorrow. It is our Election Eve show. We're in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Hannity from the final rally of the president will be doing the show leading up to the president's speech, introduction by Rush Limbaugh. This is his hometown. People here are amazing. KZIM, KSIM. Thanks for all their help. Maybe I've just been around too long, but I have no sense of nervousness about tomorrow. None. I know what I want. I know what I desire. I know what works. I know conservatism works. I knew that Trump would be a conservative. I knew that things would turn around. They have. You know, I have had many, it's 30 years now in radio, 23 years in Fox now, and I've seen a lot of elections. Watch Bill Clinton get elected. I watched him get reelected. I watched Bush win. I've watched Bush win again. I watched the 8 years of Obama. You know, we'll survive whatever it is, but why would we want to? What frustrates me is there's this ebb and flow to politics that makes no sense. Liberalism fails. Redistribution fails. It fails spectacularly. It failed the worst under Obama. Every measure I mentioned in the last hour. Now, by every measure, things are better. And people forget what it was like. I mean, the audacity of Obama running on health care. Keep your doctor, keep your plan, pay less. And that's where we are. So, you know, look, there are three outcomes. Republicans pick up seats in the Senate, maybe lose the House. To me, that's a split decision. That would be good for the president. These Senate seats matter. Or else then impeachment really becomes a big deal to them. We know what their agenda is. It's open borders, amnesty, crumbs back, Obamacare 202, and investigate endlessly and hurt Trump and hate Trump. Or do you want to keep the progress going? Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? By every measure, yes. You decide.
Tom MacArthur, and I approve this message.
Democrat Andy Kim founded an organization so extreme, it promoted books from a cop killer and a convicted terrorist. Andy Kim, he's not just far left, he's far out.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We are in Cape Girardeau. We are in beautiful Missouri, where, of course, an important Senate race is taking place, and that being Josh Hawley and Claire McCaskill. It's one of those states, like all the others, it's all about turnout. It's all about voting. One of the big surprises coming up in the last week of this campaign has been in the state of New Jersey. Earlier, we had senatorial candidate against Bob the Corrupt Menendez. Bob Hugin really has a shot in New Jersey, mostly a day of voting state. And I think the people of New Jersey, if you think it can't happen, Tom Kaine, Christy Todd Whitman, and Chris Christie. Those are Republicans winning in a deep, deep blue state called New Jersey. And so I wouldn't be surprised at any of the results there. One of the other races we're watching in New Jersey is Tom MacArthur's race. He's in the New Jersey 3rd District. And polls now show that, you know, you're in a virtual dead heat like so many other people. I mean, everyone's asking me, who's going to win? Who's going to win? I don't know who's going to win. All I know is if you don't want to lose and wake up tomorrow morning, Tom, and hear Speaker-elect Pelosi or Senate Majority-elect Schumer, then I think tomorrow is an important day for everybody to get out and vote.
Yeah, well, sure is, Sean. Absolutely. And I just finished up a meeting with a bunch of cops here in South Jersey. I've got an opponent that had the audacity to promote a book on his resistance website by Mumia Abu-Jamal, a convicted cop killer. He's just got a whole different vision. That's why I'm running those ads about him being far out. He is so far to the left and wanting to take this country in a direction that is going to make us unsafe, and take away the prosperity that this president has been delivering for the American people. And these guys have got to get, they've got to be stopped.
You know, anybody, you're talking about, so this guy wrote a book on Abu Jamal?
No, it was a book by Abu Jamal. And Andy Kim ran a resistance organization called Rise Stronger. He promoted not only
so he's promoting
Abu Jamal,
that guy's book. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
the Cop Killer's book.
And Bill Ayers' book, Domestic Terrorist, and stood with Linda Sarsour when she called for jihad against President Trump and America. These guys have a whole different vision for America, and it's a dangerous one, and they just have to get stopped. Right? We don't need a Congress that's just going to be in protest mode. We don't need Maxine Waters having the keys to the economy. We don't need Nancy Pelosi running a resistance Congress. We need to get the people's business done. And we're going to hold this Congress or lose it on the backs of a handful of districts. We just have to get it done.
Listen, this is why tomorrow it's all about turnout. And, you know, everybody's been warned at this point. Like, you know, there's only so many different ways that I can bring back people back 2 years ago. And I think it's a very simple question. Are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? That's it. That's what is the economy better? Yes, by every single solitary measure. Absolutely, it's better. Is America safer? Is America more secure? Has there ever been a politician in our lifetimes, that has ever accomplished more and kept more promises than Trump? And the answer is no. So, you know, this is now in the hands of the American people. The resistance is out there. They're angry. They've been angry from the day that he came down the escalator. They've been especially angry since he won the election. It was never supposed to happen. He defied all of the odds. It's a lot tougher when you look at the history of midterm elections. I mean, 2010 was an unmitigated disaster, as I mentioned earlier in the program today, for Barack Obama. And it was a disaster in 94 for Bill Clinton, 2 years into his presidency. You know, the idea that, you know, it's so funny to watch people and their dumb predictions and their dumb measurements of what's success, what's not success. How about anything less than how bad they did would be far more successful? All right, listen, it's Tom MacArthur, New Jersey's 3rd District, the governor. This race, according to all polls, is now a toss-up. Bob Hugin running against the corrupt Bob Menendez in the state of New Jersey. All right, appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much, Bob. Good luck tomorrow.
John,
Tom, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Right. Let's get to some phone calls here. A lot of you have been so patient. Let me get to the phones. We have Tim, and this is an amazing thing, by the way. Before we go to Tim in upstate New York, remember, I keep telling you, these House seats in New York matter. Claudia Tenney matters. All of these seats in, believe it or not, New Jersey are huge to the balance of power. Who would have thunk it? Minnesota is huge to the balance of power. Michigan, same thing. There are three specific races in New Jersey. There's four in New York. You know, when you get to California, there's five races in Southern California, 25, District 25, 39, 45, and 48, which is Dana Rohrabacher, and then even California 10. Those races will decide the balance of power in the House. So everyone thinks, well, it's no reason. Why bother voting in California? In those districts, it means everything. It really would. It will tip the balance of power. Very different than what we've had before. All right, Tim, upstate New York. How are you, sir? Welcome to Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Hey, Sean. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the call. I want you to know, first of all, I share your values and beliefs. So I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. My concern is I live in a conservative area. Many of the people have been speaking out about this election more than I've ever seen in the past. And they're all talking about voting with their hearts and not with their minds. They're reading what's in them and listening to what's in the mainstream media. And that's the direction they're heading in. And I find it difficult to even have a logical conversation with them. So that's what I wanted to share with you.
Look, we're not going to sit here and pretend something's not true. We are a divided country. There is a race towards socialism by the left in this country. They hate Donald Trump. They are running on a hate Donald Trump agenda. There's nothing that they're offering. that is going to improve the lives of the American people. Nothing, not a single solitary thing. They're even to the extent being somewhat transparent about it, and they're hiding the rest of it. They say they want their crumbs back. Remember the tax cuts, the largest tax cut in history with crumbs, but they want them back badly. And then they want open borders, but they're told not to talk about the caravan, not to talk about sanctuary cities and states and their desire for open borders. They talk about health care, hoping you forgot the disaster they dumped on us, known as Obamacare, the biggest legislative fail in our lifetime. And of course, endless investigations, possible impeachment. It's all they are running on. None of this is going to improve the lives of anybody. We have tried, we have experimented with socialism again and again in this country, and we have failed. Thank you. All right, let's go to our busy phones. Orange County, California, KEIB. I just mentioned the important races in California. District 10, Jeff Denham, Steve Knight, 25. Young Kim is in 39. Mimi Walters is in 45. Rohrabacher is in 48. Those are big races. Right there could tip the balance of power. Southern California can make all the difference. Leslie, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. Thank you so much. And absolutely, I, living in Southern California, people might think I don't have a hope, but I am going out and I'm going to vote for Mimi Walters, and I'm going to vote for her because she's supporting Trump's agenda. And he's, and in regards to the border, he's doing exactly what he promised. The criticism he's getting that he's playing some kind of Trump card or political ploy for Election Day to have the troops down there is nonsense. It takes time to set up the tent cities if they do reach the border. And he's doing exactly what he said he would do when he ran in 2016. So I'm not giving up. I know I live in a very liberal state, but I don't want my state to turn into a sanctuary state. And Mimi Walters has got my vote.
Well, I got to tell you this. She's a great congresswoman. We've had her on the program before. And Southern California, look, I got to be honest. I'm even shocked at Gavin Newsom has been polling really low. I mean, not only is it a sanctuary city of San Francisco, and Nancy Pelosi's running on San Francisco values. She actually said it this weekend that she's proud. She wants America to be San Francisco, about as liberal as you get. But he's running on free health care, whether you're a California resident or not, whether you're legal or illegal, doesn't matter. Free health care for all. So basically, you're going to put out a sign in California that says free health care for all. And if you get sick, you know what? It's not that dumb an idea. Just pack your bags, somehow make it across or get on an airplane. If you're not that sick, go out there, get treated, and then come home. Good luck. Gavin will pay for it. The people of California will pay for it. What did I mean? You mean Gavin wouldn't pay for anything. Liberals are so generous with money that's not theirs. Amazing.
And Sean, in the city of San Francisco, they're allowing illegal immigrants to vote in the local school board elections or the local elections because they, according to Newsom, they are participating in the school system, so they should have a say. And that just makes me crazy.
Well, I mean, they were doing that in San Francisco, and, you know, this has to be challenged in court at some point. You know, I do understand people's desire to want to come here, and I think if we ever opened up our borders, you know, pretty much half the world or more would come here. I respect that people see America the way we often take for granted. They see us as the land of opportunity. They see a growing economy. They see jobs. They see hope. They see a better future for their kids, their grandkids. Assuming 99% of all the people in the caravan want better lives, it's the 270 that were identified by Mexico and the U.S. as being dangerous within the caravan. That's what makes me nervous. Because if it's you or your family that become victims of some type of atrocity, not committed by the 99.8%, committed by the 270 we identified. You know, who's gonna step up and say we're responsible? We should have stopped that. I support legal immigration, a system, we can expedite it, a big wall with a door, And as long as we vet you and as long as you can sustain yourself here, I don't think we'd have a problem at all. Inviting many people. I understand the people's desire to have a better life. Feel sorry for so many people around the world. Wonder what they do in these countries with the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that we give in aid. Anyway, good call. Thanks, Leslie.
We are finally putting America first. It's been a long time. But if Chuck Schumer, crying Chuck, and Nancy Pelosi, and the legendary Maxine Waters take power, they will try to erase our gains and eradicate our progress. That's what's going to happen.
You know, it's very interesting. Some of the fake news was saying I was watching. Why doesn't he talk about the economy? Why does he talk about immigration and what's coming up with the caravan? Why does he talk about the caravan when he's got maybe the best numbers on the economy in the history of our country? And we can talk about the economy, but the fact is we know how well we're doing with the economy, and we have to solve problems. I'm looking to solve problems, not talk into the fact that we have done a great job, and we have done a great job on the economy. This is very serious stuff. This election will decide whether we build on the extraordinary prosperity that we've achieved for our nation, or whether we let the radical Democrats, and that's what they've become radical Democrats. In Rick's case, he's going against somebody that's falling asleep. And in Ron's case, he's going against somebody that's got a lot of energy, but he runs one of the worst, one of the biggest problem cities anywhere in the country. He's not doing a job. You don't want to have him running Florida, that I can tell you. You're going to take control of Congress. They want to give away our country. They want to knock it down with a giant wrecking ball. If Democrats gain power on Tuesday, one of their very first projects will be a socialist takeover of the American healthcare system. You can't have it. They'll destroy what we're building and what we're going to build. The Democrats only believe in defending the borders of other countries. They don't believe in defending our country. Open borders, come on in, means crime. That's what it means. Republicans believe we must defend our borders. We have to defend our country, and we must defend our families, our communities, and our great American way of life.
All right, that was President Trump explaining why you need to get out to vote. Now, you know what? It's all in your hands. We'll ask Donald Trump Jr. He's been crisscrossing the country on behalf of Republicans. He's next. We'll get his observations as we continue from Cape Girardeau. We'll be Hannity tonight live from the president's final rally in Cape Girardeau, in Missouri, the all-important Senate seat here, and much more coming up straight ahead. All right, news roundup, information overload, Sean Hannity Show. We are in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, obviously the birthplace of Rush and David Limbaugh, and a big rally tonight with President Trump. We'll be doing Hannity live from the site, and the president will give his final interview as we head into these all-important midterm elections. By the way, many thanks to our affiliates out here, KZIM, KSIM, for all their hospitality and their support throughout this. He has been zigzagging, crisscrossing the country himself, as he did 2 years ago, getting crowds not quite as big as his father, but he's doing pretty well, according to all reports. And Don Jr. is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm good. You spent a lot of time, you know, I've been watching Montana, and I know Montana's a mail-in state, and John Tester is down in the polls today. And when the Libertarian got out, I said it just might have, I wonder if it was too late because people, so many people had already voted. How do you feel about Montana?
Well, listen, it's never too late. And you also have an important House seat there with Greg Gianforte, you know, and the bottom line is, you know, we were able to get, you know, put a really good show against a, you know, a strong incumbent that no one thought was beatable. And, you know, the reality is this, we're getting Republicans and conservatives generally to come together for a Libertarian to drop out. We had Rand Paul over there campaigning with him in Montana. You know, we're actually uniting so many parts of conservatism. When you have the Libertarian working with Republicans and other conservatives, if we see a little bit more of that, imagine what we could do throughout the country. I think it's a very powerful message, and I feel good about a lot of these races.
Listen, I'm just looking at it like I always like to play as if we're behind. And that's just the way I roll. And if you forget the polls, the only poll that's going to matter is tomorrow. And by every objective measure, we know Florida is always tight. You've got to assume that your three votes in your family is going to make all the difference. What's that?
100%. You know, Florida's always tight, but the problem you have this year is, you know, the hurricane doing the damage to the panhandle, so many families there suffering, and that's a historically conservative/Republican sort of area. You know, so I would say we got to get those people to turn up. I understand what they've been through. It's a disaster. I can't even imagine, frankly. But, you know, they got to turn up, because when I look at what could happen in that race, what could happen in that state, you know, basically turning into a socialist, you know, going from a tax haven to tax hell, that's a real problem for that entire economy and all of the progress that Florida has made that has kept its economy so strong for all these years. It's really scary. So, you know, there are
the panhandle,
where people just have to turn up.
The panhandle, Southwest Florida, very important. I'll be looking at those districts all night. The I-4 corridor between Orlando and Tampa, that always plays a big role. It looks like Marsha Blackburn, but you can't take even that for granted, going up against the super liberal former Governor Bredesen. Marsha's been campaigning. She's been out on the road. Your dad was in Tennessee again last night. North Dakota, you just can't assume that, well, Heidi Heitkamp's down by double digits. That's definitely a pickup. You know, while we know that Joe Donnelly's somebody we can beat, he's got a libertarian problem as well. In Indiana, if you vote for the libertarian, you might as well be voting for Chuck Schumer. And right here in the state of Missouri, I got to tell you, this is a day of voting state. The majority of votes will be cast right here in Missouri tomorrow. Same with New Jersey. Nobody thought Bob Menendez was vulnerable. Now it's all hands on deck for the Democrats. Nevada's always close, historically close. You know, why this is still a close race in Arizona, I don't know. Martha McSally, a war hero, 28 years service, six deployments, Iraq, Afghanistan, going up against a woman who even this weekend wouldn't apologize for saying that it's okay to join the Taliban. That's insane.
Well, Sean, it's hard when you're competing against, you know, so many of these billionaires that are putting $100 million into campaigns. When you got Tom Steyer, Bloomberg, Soros, all of these people funding campaigns. I'm going to some of these campaigns. These guys are being outspent 10 to 1 on TV and radio and commercials. You know, it's hard to overcome those messages often of lies. I was in Arizona last week, and they're trying to make Sinema seem like she's a moderate. The media ads, they don't cover any of her extreme and socialist positions. It's like, you know, she's right of center as far as the media there is concerned. So there's a lot of disinformation out there. We have to get out there and vote. We can't be complacent. We can't assume, I hear from so many people, who would vote against this agenda? Just assume that there are crazy people out there who would vote against it. We got to turn up. We got to make some calls, and we got to bring our friends.
You know, look at Ted Cruz. Nearly $100 million in negative ads in Texas, all designed to elect somebody that does not represent in any way, any shape, manner, or form, the values of Texas. But now you would hear, if you believe the media, you know, $100 million can do damage against anybody. I don't care how good a politician you are.
Sean, I was with Ted, you know, 2.5 weeks ago down in Texas, and he was talking about his quarterly numbers, saying he set a record at $12.9 million as the most money ever raised in a quarter in the Texas Senate. And Beto gets $39 million, all from California, New York, and other liberal parts of the country. I mean, imagine that. He set a record and was basically out-earned 3-1 and change, you know, by people from out of state. It doesn't represent Texas at all, but that's what's happening in all of these races. I'm seeing that in West Virginia. I'm seeing that in Kentucky. I'm seeing that in North Carolina, South Carolina, all New York, where we're going to be today fighting for some of these conservative candidates. I'm here with Kimberly. We're running around the country. We've done an amazing job just trying to motivate that base and make them realize what's at stake. Because if you're happy with all of the winning, if you're happy with the promises made, promises kept agenda that my father has done, you got to get up. You got to get out there and turn up and show up and let your voice be heard, because it can all go away in an instant.
Yeah, it's all true. Listen, John James is a great guy. I've watched this guy cut the lead down literally from 22 down, now almost within the margin of error. He would be another outsider. And to my way of thinking, you know, everyone asks, what do you think? What do you think? It doesn't matter what I think. What you should assume is your vote is going to change the outcome of your state, your congressional district. There are 30 some odd congressional districts that the margins are razor thin. I mean, when you have Nate Silver, I mean, it was the biggest CYA memo I've ever read in my life. You know, I say, oh, 85% chance that the Democrats take over the House. All right, I'm reading Nate Silver. By the way, it was a 75% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to beat your dad. So he doesn't have the best track record. I think the polling, yeah, I think polling in the era of Trump is I don't think it's anything we can trust. But with that said, you know, I look at all of these races. They're all close. And it's 35 seats that will tip the balance of power in the House of Representatives. Just the fact he's saying it could be as few as 15 pickup for Democrats or as many as 60. Well, that's the biggest, you know, CYA memo I've ever seen in my life. This way I can say, see, I told you. Either way, I told you it was a possibility, ignoring the 85% that he's been pushing. I think in large part the media pushes it to depress Republican conservative voters thinking, oh, there's no point. There's no hope. That's not true.
I agree. I see some of those voter suppression polls. You know, yesterday they were even. Now today the Democrats 12 up. I'm saying it's total nonsense. Don't believe it. And remember what we experienced during our race in 16. You know, our online polling versus telephone polling, there was a 15-point spread because our voters don't want to tell, you know, someone in the media, some pollster who's going to be critical of them that they're voting for Trump or for Trump's agenda, even though it's doing so many incredible things for the country. People still don't do that. So I think our numbers, if we're going in tied, we can win these things very easily. We just got to show up. We can't be discouraged. We can't let their nonsense campaigns of suppression stop us from getting out to the polls. Worst case scenario, I'm wrong, and we win by a lot, and guess what? We send a message to D.C. Let's run up the score. Let's show America and D.C. that we love this agenda. We love what it's doing for the American people. We love what it's doing for the American working class, and let's keep winning.
That's not a bad message. I will say this. It's worth the price of admission, and I've been saying this to everybody. Just imagine, if you think the faces of the anchors and the media were bad on election night 2016, can you imagine when they say Republicans have picked up seats in the Senate and held on to the House? I can't even predict how insane their reaction will be. And I'll tell you what it's rooted in, a hatred and contempt for who the people decide. Now, look, I've lived through good election years, bad election years. I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, you take your lumps. I didn't want Barack Obama to win in 08 or 2012. But you can see the difference. There's never been a more successful 2 years with more promises kept than your father, period, in my lifetime.
The economy right now is so good, Sean, that Barack Obama is trying to take credit for it, which was when I heard him say that, I said it was the stupidest statement in both the history of politics and economics. Remember his whole 2016 when DJT was saying, why can't we have 3%, 4%, 5% GDP growth? Obama himself said there's no magic wand for that. Well, there is a magic wand for it, Sean. It's conservative values, principles. It's common sense. It's a little bit of experience. Someone who's actually signed the front of a paycheck. Someone who's actually created jobs and created businesses. That's my father. That's what he does. That's what he promised in 2016. And guess what? He's delivering. He's the first politician in the history of America to get hell every day for doing all of the things that his constituents elected him to do. Think about that. I wish we'd hold our politicians accountable when they don't do the things they say they're going to do. But he gets heat for actually getting it done because they don't want him to succeed. Democrats would rather see this country fail than succeed.
Listen, I hate to say it. And he's carrying a lot of these Republicans on their back because they're not exactly people that have kept their promises over the years, in particular health care being a big issue to me. I mean, you know, you have all these people, 60 votes to repeal and replace Obamacare when they're meaningless. But then when it matters, then they got to water it all down into something that it was almost unrecognizable from what the promise, you know, was to their constituents. But even with that said, we know what the agenda is. It's endless investigation, possible impeachment. They want their crumbs back. They want open borders, sanctuary cities and states. And they want Obamacare. Obama's running on health care. I'm like, everybody lost their doctor, their plan, and they're paying more. And now you're again selling us this ridiculous plan of his. You know, so many counties have just but one health care provider choice. That's it.
Yeah, well, what I think a lot of Republicans have realized, and finally, it took them a little bit of time, but they realized that when you have a fighter at the helm like my father, that, you know what, you can push back. You don't just have to roll over and die when the Democrats call you a mean name. We're right in terms of the policy. We're right in terms of the numbers. We're right in terms of the economy. And they're doing that. I mean, listen, I was campaigning last week with Rand Paul. You have libertarians coming out in support of this agenda. You know, you had, heck,
you had a guy like Steve complimenting a Mitch McConnell on the judiciary stuff, and then you had Donald Trump backing it up on the Kavanaugh situation, and don't hear anything about those investigations because it was all made up. They would do anything to destroy this guy because Donald Trump wanted it there. They'd ruin his life. They'd try to ruin his family. They'd do anything. A guy who'd been in the public eye for years, a guy who's on a federal court, a guy that's going to
be horrible
FBI investigations before.
It was horrible.
Sean, if these guys can try to ruin that guy's life with his stellar record of achievement, imagine what they could do to the average person. Imagine what they would do to the average person if they got.
Hey, listen, they've already promised
that's all
it.
They have.
I mean, you've got this idiot lying Schiff. He's out there, you know, saying he's going to have endless investigations. Oh, and then the great line by Maxine Waters, we will do to you what you did to us if I become the finance committee chair. I assume she's talking to Wall Street in that regard. But all right, Don Jr., thank you. Big day tomorrow. We'll be watching. And America gets the government it deserves in the end. All right. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Thank you. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right. Let's get to our busy phones. So many of you have been wanting to weigh in here. Look, my main message today is assume you're behind. Assume you don't want to hear the words Speaker-elect Pelosi or Senate Majority-elect Schumer. That's it. And, you know, are you better off than you were 2 years ago? Are you safer? Are you more secure? Were promises made? Were promises kept? That's it. Wisconsin, we say hi to Diane. An important race there for governor. I don't know why Scott Walker's struggling after the amazing job he did for the people of Wisconsin, but I guess Great Britain did throw out Winston Churchill. I mean, things like that happen. He does a great job, goes out every night in the bombing of Britain, and then say, all right, we're done with you. Thanks for saving us from, you know, tyranny and evil in our time. What's up, Diane? How are you?
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to tell you you're a great teacher for letting the candidates get on to talk. And I wanted to talk about to all of your listeners about voting. Friday, I was doing my errands, and like most people, I'm very busy running around. And I was in line at the grocery store, and I was going to go vote, which I did. And I thought to myself, what if the person in front of me and the person behind me all were thinking, gosh, I'm so busy doing my errands. I really don't have time to go vote. And besides, my vote's not going to make Governor Walker or Leah Vukmir or Glenn Grossman over the top. But if every person thought that, standing in line and everybody in the store and then the people across the street in the other store all thought that, we would have hundreds of people not voting because they always think the other person's going to vote and that's okay. My vote's just one. We need to get Governor Walker back in the office and keep him there and Leah Vukmir and Glenn Grossman. They have done amazing stuff for our state. And everybody's vote is incredibly important.
Let me tell you one thing. The president just did his trade deal with Mexico and Canada. And one of the biggest beneficiaries of getting rid of NAFTA and the new trade deal are Wisconsin dairy farmers and Wisconsin farmers, period. It's like a gift to the, by the way, to the well-deserved people of Wisconsin that produce our food, that deserve a fair trade deal, that deserve access to these markets, that were being shut out unfairly. That never happened in the 8 years of Obama, just like a lot of things never happened in the 8 years of Obama. Watching him try to take credit for something he didn't do is remarkable to me, but frankly predictable. Diane, listen, get out there, vote Wisconsin. You played such a big role in 2016. You could play a big role tomorrow. Quick break. Election Eve edition, the best election coverage on your radio dial. This is the Sean Hannity Show. Many thanks to our affiliate, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, KZIM, KSIM. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. That, of course, let's go to the president. Let's just go to the Democrats. Those were their agenda, because they're telling you what they want to do, but they're not telling you about impeaching 45. They've asked Maxine, stop it. Don't say it. I know, but just shh. And then, of course, John Podesta recommending what? Oh, don't talk about immigration. Don't talk about the caravan because we know you want sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, open borders. And yes, just don't talk about it. Change the subject, the Center for American Progress said. Anyway, here is what they're telling you they will do.
Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. I think there's no question that we've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered and the work it is doing, and we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
I think we need to abolish ICE. That seems really clear.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on is so pathetic.
Please don't just come here today and then go home. Go to the Hill today. Get up and please get up in the face of some Congress people.
Eliminating ICE, for instance, and President Trump.
Yes. They have strayed so far from the interests of the American people and the interests of humanity. We need to abolish it.
When the American people learn that some of them are not getting anything, some of them getting raises, and the rest are getting crumbs, and big corporations and wealthy individuals are getting nice fat pieces of pie, they're going to be outraged. They are already.
ICE isn't doing what it was created to do. It's being used as his own personal police force, and in those actions, it's actually making us less safe.
When this country understands and feels what has been done with the tax scam and what that's going to do for our deficit in this country, it's going to be reversed.
And I think you should reimagine ICE under a new agency with a very different mission and take those two missions out. And so we believe that we should protect families that need our help, and that is not what ICE is doing today, and that's why I believe you should get rid of it.
What we have proposed is an increase in the corporate tax rate.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
We need to rebuild our immigration system from top to bottom, starting by replacing ICE with something that reflects our morality and values.
Medicare for All is actually much more, is actually much cheaper than the current system that we pay right now.
They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, impeachment, impeachment.
If it turns out that he does become Justice Kavanaugh and you're chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, would you investigate him for possible impeachment?
If he is on the Supreme Court and the Senate hasn't investigated, then the House will have to.
You'll investigate.
We would have to investigate.
Okay, so endless investigations. Adam Schiff, he's promising. Let's like revenge for him. The biggest liar in Congress. And you got Maxine Waters. We will do to you, if I'm the head of the Senate of the House Finance Committee, what you did to us. How does one interpret that? And then, of course, the crumbs back, endless investigation, possible impeachment, then open borders, but don't say it. Sanctuary cities and states, but don't say it. And then the idea that the closing argument of Democrats is health care. And Obama yesterday, all about health care. I'm thinking, oh, please tell me people's memories are not that short. Please tell me they remember the dramatic increase in prices in spite of the promise you'll save money, or the fact that so many lost their plans, so many lost their doctors. We now have so many counties, towns, cities in this country. They have one health care option. That's it. So what is the positive agenda? What, they want to raise taxes, they want open borders, they want to go back to Obamacare, and they hate Trump. There you go. That's the full-on Democratic agenda. Look, there's only one antidote to Speaker Pelosi and Senate Majority Elect Schumer. There's only one. It's you, we, the people. The odds of Donald Trump winning last time around, and I can tell you from my own personal experience, my obituary was written. It was over for my career. And I've been through many of these elections. I can live with losing. I can't live with the idea that everybody's busting their ass to make this a better country. And some of you can't even get your ass out of a chair and go vote. I can't deal with that. That to me is so reckless, so irresponsible. And let me tell you something. The hate Trump resistance, they're gonna go vote. Now, the question is, are you going to go out in the numbers you went out in 2016? Because if that's the case, then it's going to shock the world again. Now, Hannity, what do you think is going to happen? Good question. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. But I do like the fact that destiny, your destiny, the country's destiny, your future, your kids' future, the success of the last 2 years is in your hands. And at the end of the day, you know what? You got 30 House seats. It's all up on Hannity.com. And by the way, in states that you don't think matter, they matter. Five races in Southern California, congressional seats, five of them that could tip the balance of power. You know, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, you know, even Michigan, New Jersey, New York, all these states that you wouldn't think matter, they matter. Virginia, there's four big races there. Dave Brat, Barbara Comstock, Riggleman, those are all huge races. And right now, everything is too close to call. Pete Sessions in Texas, tight race. Dino Rossi in Washington State, who we had on the program, it's a tight race. You know, you look, Claudia Tenney in New York, a tight, tight race. She's been a great congresswoman. John Culberson in Texas. You know, Brian Fitzpatrick, they tried to screw him in Pennsylvania with redistricting. You know, in New York also, Lee Zeldin, an important race. John Faso, an important race. You know, for those of you that think, you know, I don't need to go out and vote in New York. Yeah, you do. Maybe you think Gavin Newsom's going to be your governor, but these Senate races matter more. You know, Steve Knight, Young Kim, Mimi Waters, Dana Rohrabacher, Jeff Denham, they all matter. Peter Roskamp, that's a big race in Illinois. So it's really up to you. I'm at peace with what we have done. I think we have sufficiently given you the information that matters the most. We've gone over the president's success. We've gone over the 8 years of Obama. We've given you compelling, positive reasons to stay the course. Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? Are we as a country better off than we were 2 years ago? I don't know how many more economic records are even possible to break now. Record low unemployment. Record low unemployment for the country. 14 states record low unemployment. Record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, and youth unemployment. I don't think we can do better than that. Little Rocket Man's not firing missiles over, you know, Japan every other weekend. And we got back the remains of our soldiers from the 50s. We got back hostages. The president gave up nothing. We're talking about denuclearization of the entire peninsula. The world is better and safer. We're not bribing dictators. Today, the toughest sanctions ever imposed against the mullahs in Iran have taken place. Oh, this story about Louis Farrakhan, I will get to as this week unfolds. Just it's just not worth taking up time today on the program. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Let's say hi, David. David is in the great state of Missouri. Josh Hawley, let me tell you about Missouri. Missouri is a day of voting state. Tomorrow we'll decide the Senate in Missouri. And Claire McCaskill needs to be sent home. Anyway, how are you, Dave?
Oh, pretty good. How are you, John?
I'm good, sir. Glad you called. Well, I'm in Cape Girardeau. Where are you?
Well, I'm a truck driver. I'm out on the road now. I'm in Indiana. I live in Columbia, Missouri. I listen to you every day, and you're the greatest. I can't believe I'm getting to talk to you finally.
Well, thank you.
You know, you were on the. I was listening to you the other day, and you guys were having a hard time coming up with how do you say Missouri, or people from Missouri. They're Missouri. Missourians.
Well, yeah. What about all the people that say I had a cousin from Missouri that we and cousin Bobby from Missouri, and I'm like, it's not Missouri.
It's Missouri.
I'll do it, Linda's voice. It's Missouri.
Well, Linda, I can tell you, if Claire McCaskill wins, we're going to be in misery in Missouri. It's going to be, we're going to read.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask the question.
I'll let Sean say it, and then I'll say it, and you tell me who says it right.
Okay, ready?
Go ahead, Sean.
Missouri. Who says it right?
Well, Sean's saying it right. Linda's saying it right.
Missouri.
Oh,
Missouri.
He said Linda said it better, though.
Thank you, my brother. She sounds like, you know, the New York mob guys. Yo, what's going on? How you doing?
First of all, what? I think everyone in Missouri has liked me so far.
So far, no problem.
Liked everywhere, with that accent. How can you not be liked?
You know, I don't know. It makes me laugh. Listen, David, God bless you for what you do. Good luck tomorrow. Josh Hawley, if he wins this race, will make the people of Missouri proud. I am that confident. It's up to the people of Missouri. I have faith in them, and I think they know that Claire McCaskill is a phony. Just like, Joe Donnelly is a phony. Just like Bredesen is a phony. Just like Bill Nelson is useless. Just like Bozo in Texas is useless. $100 million in just smear tactics against Ted Cruz. Just like Sinema is a phony in Arizona. Dean Heller's done a great job for the people of Nevada. John Tester, he's a Chuck Schumer liberal in Montana. Rosendale can beat him. We could win Indiana. Who knows what's going to happen in West Virginia? I'm not counting on it, but anything can happen if the people decide that they want to keep this positive agenda for the future of the country alive and moving. Or do you want the resistance, the anger, the tax increases, the open borders, Obamacare 102? Good grief. God help us. Three possible outcomes tomorrow. In spite, you know, some idiot made a prediction. Oh, if Trump loses the House and wins the Senate, he's a total loss for him. I'm like, go look at what happened to Clinton in 94. Go look at what happened to Obama in 2010. And guess what? They both got reelected 2 years later. So it is not indicative of what's going to happen in 2020. I can tell you that right now. History has proven that in our lifetime numerous times. The bottom line is, just for one reason alone, imagine, tomorrow night, you tune in to fake news, and they're giddy. They start out the night happy, expectations rising. You know, they're feeling it. They're hoping. They're praying. They've gone all in to defeat Trump. Well, the Republicans will hold the Senate and pick up seats in the United States Senate. Imagine their faces. Oh, it looks like the Republicans will hold the House of Representatives. Imagine the collective meltdown. It's worth the price of admission. The price of admission is getting off your ass and going to vote. From Cape Girardeau, KZIM, KSIM, Hannity tonight, from the president's last rally before the midterm, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, 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 impeachment.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on, is so pathetic.
They should, once and for all, work with us to improve the Affordable Care Act and renounce repeal once and for all as well.
We've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered and the work it is doing, and we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
We should protect families that need our help, and that is not what ICE is doing today, and that's why I believe you should get rid of it, start over, reimagine it.
All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern from Cape Girardeau, where the president, introduced by Rush Limbaugh, gives his final rally before the all-important midterms. Josh Hawley, Senate candidate, and President Trump, and much, much more. 9 Eastern, closing arguments. Hannity, Fox News, set your DVR. We'll see you tonight at 9. My last words to you for this election. Go vote. You'll get the government you deserve. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.